Blog Talk Radio.
Just a step, cries the sad man. Take a look down at the madman. Theater king's on. Silver wings fly beyond reason. From the flight of the seagull come the spread claws of the eagle. Only fear breaks the silence as we all kneel, pray for guidance. We'll be right back.
Ricky Darlings, and welcome to Late Night Poets After Midnight Show, where you get to take a walk on the wild side. If you're into the likes of Ginsberg, Bukowski, Ferlinghetti, and Kerouac, and Morrison, then you are on the right night. But please check out our other After Midnight shows. Fridays is now split between Break On Through with Pam and Echoes in the Darkness. And on Saturday, you sit in with Faziana and Babla, to teach you fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. These shows are designed to color outside the lines with ritual emotions tinged with colloquial language, thereby pushing the envelope to expression and opening up new avenues of thought through pen and voice. So pull up a chair, relax, and open your minds. I'm Rex, and my co-host Pam Ray, and I can't wait to get into and read your words. Morning, Pam.
Good morning, Rex. How are you doing this fine day?
All right. A little chilly.
So far, so good. I get that. Technically, here in this neck of the woods, it's not morning yet, but you know what? It's close enough. You know, so. But we got a great lineup of poetry tonight. I'm looking forward to it. Jimi Hendrix quotes definitely inspired some awesome rites. So, good stuff. And, it's cold here, but other than that, life is good, you know? All right. And let's see, I don't know, anything else?
Nope.
All right, well, I guess we can move forward and have a little bit of fun with some poetry. All right. So the first poem I'm going to put up is a carryover, and it's called One Way to Look at It by Ursula McCabe. And it goes like this. All my life, everything was good. Summers brought cornfields and tree frogs. Pets were around, and once even a bay filly. School was easy and filled with good people. Jobs gave me confidence, even if blue collar. I prided myself on being independent. Somewhere in midlife, it had all just come too easy. My growth stopped. I was never one for that extra mile of effort, nor did I dabble much with introspection. Many times I was lazy, even immoral. Now that I'm older and more observant, my favorite trees are sending out whispers. I'm still greedy for attention, which often is absent, and at times I'm so concerned with appearance, I forget to be loyal. Instant gratification is still a bad habit, and my fingers are always tapping. Regrets visit often. My calendar is always full. My friends are dying, and I'm in denial. I fret about choices I've made and wonder if I know how to truly love someone. With all of this, I am hoping there is still time to find the core of my generosity. Trust that my life will end with autumn colors. My leaf spots will not be blemishes, just marks mixed with shades of red and yellow. End poem.
Great read, Dan. Thank you very much. I like that second stanza because it sets it up, sets up the rest of the piece. I mean, the opening was everything being good, use cornfields, frogs, pets, and all that. But that second one really sets the tone off. Somewhere in midlife, it all just come too easy. My growth stopped. I was never one for the extra mile of effort, nor did I dabble much with introspection. Many times I was lazy, even amoral. It's on a note of disconnect for what once you walk within, and then you came to understand that you now live within. And then that third stanza walks into age being the priority, where you can now reflect on things. Those are favorite trees, sending out whispers. I'm still greedy for attention, which is often asking, and at times I'm so concerned with appearance I forget to be loyal. The ease of just brushing off people, so to speak, and still hits on that note. Instant gratification is still a bad habit, and my fingers are always tapping. Now the regrets are coming a little bit more quickly. The calendar is always full because you're losing parts of what once was your life. As you age, people move on, pass away. And now you're looking on that note in the end of that sort of the age spots that one gets with age. She's got that sort of my least spots will not be blemishes, just marks mixed with shades of reds and yellows. An understanding that, all right, you've come full term, so to speak, and you would like to go with a little bit more honesty towards self than you have shown through much of your life. So I guess that comes with that note of understanding death is an imminent thought and might come at any minute to grab one out of whatever it is they're doing and whatever it is they're doing it. So there's that note of understanding I might not have a whole lot more life left to live. I might want to actually improve the circumstances in which I live it. What about
Absolutely.
You?
Yeah, I like this one a lot. This was into the prompt at the typewriter, you find out who you are. And I do have to agree with you. This is a very introspective piece speaking on self-growth. And it was, to me, a great write all the way through. But that second stanza was particularly stand out in that moment, that turning point, that moment of realization that one has so much further to go. I like what you had to say about the imminency of death. And, you know, it makes me think about how as we all get towards the end of our lives or what possibly is the end of our lives, we start to think about the kind of mark, the kind of, you know, what we leave behind, what kind of memories people are going to have for us. But I think this was beautifully philosophical. It was heartfelt. I like how she writes on personal growth that comes with the passing of time and the opening of mind that hears the whisper of nature's. And what I really like about this one is that it has such an honesty to it. It's a wonderful confessional poem, you know, especially with lines like instant gratification is still a bad habit and my fingers are always tapping. And I like how that speaks on that idea of how we want to get that poem out or we want to get that thought out that not only pleases us and gives us that kind of emotional high, but also gets approval from other people. I do also like how, like I said, it's all about growth, going from the childhood where everything was good, life was good. You have this pride, I prided myself on being independent, to becoming this person that realizes that they actually have so much further they need to go. So amazing right and very well done. Up next, we have A Fish Fry by Lawrence67, and go ahead, please, Rex, and give that a read for us, please.
A Fish Fry by Lawrence67. Nice picture. The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie, Alfie. Alfie, hurry up, or we're not gonna make it. Not going to make what, Nigel? Pam's got some fish out of water, and I think we should go help her with some poor, tasty fishies. All right, Pam. She's throwing a fish fry for you and I. I like Pam. Rex ain't never thrown no fish fry. We're here. Boy, am I hungry. Hey, Nigel, will you look at that? It's a fish fishing, huh? And look over there. That fish is riding a horse. dang them some big-ass fish out of water. You know what, Alfie? I was actually starting my new diet. So you go ahead, and I'll meet you back at the crib. Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. I'm not staying here with them mutants. Stand aside. Coming through. Yay! But what about Pam's fish fry? Fish fry, my eye. Them fish is bigger than us, and they're ugly. Besides, I'm a Rex fan for life. You're a kiss-ass, Alfie. So, hey, look, Pam's calling you. Where? Sign me. See you later. Oh, you lying piece of... Come back here. I'm going to kick your ass. Don't you run from me. I'm going to get you, Alfie. Bye, Rexy, baby. Bye, Pam. Sorry about the fish. Bye, Gene. Alfie.
Oh, that was a great read, Rex. You always put just brilliant voices to Alfie and Nigel. I liked the sense of humor in this one. He wrote this for the show, Fish Out of Water. And some of the artwork I had obviously were like, you know, these fishes in like, you know, classic art or human situations, which is a lot of fun. I just really particularly enjoy this one and got a big kick out of it. You know, like, dang, them some big-ass fish out of water. You know what, Alfie? I was actually starting my new diet, so you can go ahead. I'll meet you back at the crib. And then when he goes, fish fry, my eye, them fishes is bigger than us, and they're ugly. Besides, I'm a Rex fan for life. And then the ending was great, too, that, like let's quick run, get out of Dodge. But, yeah, as always, fun, right, brilliant sense of humor, and I just really enjoyed this one. And, of course, your read always adds to the enjoyment.
Nice. Yeah, this was a fish fry. That's unexpected, but considering the picture, well, why the hell not going for a fish fry? Catfish fry, I mean. Oh. Sorry, Alfie. Sorry, Nigel. Them fish is bigger than you. They might just take you for a snack. So, yeah, I can't blame you for that. But you did include all three of us in this, Gene. Sorry, Gene. Alfie. Kick your ass.
Yeah, that was great.
See? They cottoned on to your mess. They figured you were going to feed them for the fish. Now they're back on my team.
I think they figured I was going to beat them. All right. Let's see what we have next. The Shadow by Ken Smith. Oh, and now we're going to get into the Jimi Hendrix-inspired, right? The shadow lays itself down the table as darkness settles in the room and whispers to you to lay with it. In words of poetry, soul talk, not there to sell you something, does not ask your age. Since we're all children of a higher power, you won't get dust pneumonia if you plant a garden. In a vacant lot on a sheet of paper, you won't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been. To trust the path you wander into the brush of what is not. End poem.
Great read now. And Ken took the... You've got to know what goes between the notes. I like that. That was a nice story. I remember once, of course, he had, he said, because he was with the, early in life, he was in the 82nd Airborne paratrooping. He once said, I want to get that same sound out of my guitar as I do rushing through the air, rolling through my, years on the way out of a jump parachuting. So he got that sort of already knew where he was going to go, but hadn't quite found that secret yet. He came out a couple of years later. So I like that thought, and the fact that he rolls into those little notes in between those touches that kind of add a little bit of clarity and nuance to the song, where you, instead of having something plain and simple, you've got something that speaks a little bit more within it. He did Bob Dylan's All Along the Watchtower, and Dylan loved that song, the way Jimmy played it. So it's all in how you approach the project, what you put into it, and how you deliver it. So I think that's the general gist of what Ken is actually offering up right in here. What about you?
Oh, I like that. That's some great observations. Yeah, I really like this all the way through, how one line just leads beautifully into the next. But I especially like, in words of poetry, soul talk, not there to sell you something, does not ask your age. And I love that because, to me, first of all, it gives a nod to the fact that, Jimi Hendrix's guitar playing was poetry in itself and spoke to the soul. But also the idea that through music and through poetry, there is this connection for people of all ages. And I really like... also, in a vacant lot on a sheet of paper, you won't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been. And I think that's a wonderful line speaking on the idea that so much of our inspiration comes from looking back in our life and realizing the path that we're treading. So just an absolutely wonderful write and very well done.
All right. What's next?
All right. Hold on. Let me check something. All right. I see Naomi hanging out on the board on Late Night Poets. Hello, Naomi. Good to see you. All right. And up next, we have Amuse Me, Miss, I'm a Fun-Loving Guy by MJ Donnelly. And go ahead, please, Rex, and give that a read.
Since you showed up. Amuse Me, Miss, I'm a Fun-Loving Guy by MJ Donnelly. I see neutrinos sparking in sunrise. Sick guitar riffs are screaming through my brain. I like to roll them bones, but not snake eyes. In a past life, I think I was a fan. I think I could fly through space to the stars as long as I have a laptop and tunes, with a Star-Lord and crew checking out bars on stupid dope planets with diamond moons. Shit gets crazy, man, at the speed of light. It's like everything's taffy pulled too long. It's like having your scalp stretched back too tight. It's like a wicked hash hit from a bomb. I've been here before, but I don't know why. Amuse me, miss. I'm a fun-loving guy. And poem.
great read there, Rex. I like this almost parody. It's fun, you know, the line, amuse me, miss. I'm a fun-loving guy. It's like that joke that, you know, about, you know, what, about the mushroom, hey, I'm a fun guy. But this definitely had a great line. It was a total trip. I mean, it definitely had to me a whole Purple Haze vibe to it, a Jimi Hendrix vibe that I really enjoyed. And I like particularly the lines, I like to roll them bones, but not snake eyes. In a past life, I think I was a thane. And shit goes crazy, man, at the speed of light. It's like everything's taffy, pulled too long. it's like having your scalp stretched back too tight. It's like a wicked hash hit from a bong. I mean, like I said, it's just a total trip. It definitely is one of those poems that kisses the sky. So excellent write and very well done.
I did like the play with the excuse me while I kiss the sky, because for many years a lot of people had already confused that with excuse me while I kiss the sky. So much for actually looking up the lyrics on the album covers, morons. But hey, you know what? I've heard that all before. Kodachrome from up with the Paul Simon back in the day. I remember people mashing that stone to death too. Anyway, the thought with shit gets crazy, man, the speed of light. It's like everything's taffy pulled too long. It's like having your scalp stretched back too tight. It's like a wicked hash hit from a bong. I like that that angle there. The note of if you take a look at Star Trek, and they hit the warp speed button, all of a sudden you see a streak. And that streak is the ship. Yes, it's gone, but you still see that tappy long pull of supposed energy left in the moment being drawn out as it reaches speed. So I like that thought right there. And I do like to roll them bones, the thought of rolling dice, but not snake eyes. In a past life, I think I was the same. The idea of once being... of the royal order, but not of the court itself. Someone who's been appointed a lord, an overlord, a master, or something, been granted land by the king. Nice touch with that.
And that was really cool. Great observations there, Rex. All right. Well, I think I'm trying to decide what I'm going to do next. I think I will skip down a couple and let me see here. All right, there we go. All right. Up next we have Crazy Heaven by Shalini Krish. And it goes like this. Oh, what will he think? Oh, what will she say? Oh, what will they throw me out in wild gray? Oh, will they throw me out in wild gray? What, when I am busy counting stars in night sky, will they badmouth me as I have no say? Why do I think what he will think when I have my stuffs to ponder whole day? Why do I think what she will say when I myself have much more to say? Why would I think what they will do? Senseless, they at least in my say. Starry catalog, faults and replay as slander alarms threatens brain's facade. Forgotten dust, if trash thoughts that prey, spirits unencumbered, will take balloon away. A lucky red seed be me on Arctic highway, red spot of love on nature's white spray. A dewdrop be me on volcanic fire bay, peaking soothe for minds roaring in dismay. Itsy bitsy pixel colorful be me, blending with splash of galactic orb rays. Gypsy dreamer dancing to innate song, jumping into unknown, hoping sunshine, thrill of dare is nice meter for life's rhyme. All will be fine in course of time. Unlike concrete sturdy, consuming changes of life, be a river flowing freely with shine as jazzy tunes, hopping guitar, strings seek stellar zeal and scenes segued. Crazy beings realize heaven is earth, relishing moment each, living them fullest. and poem.
Very good. Two prompts. You have to forget about what other people say when you're supposed to die or when you're supposed to be loving. You have to forget all these things. And number 10, you have to go on and be crazy. Craziness is like heaven. Okay? All right, that dog, I said, that bite up top, it could refer to the thought of heaven and what will be said and spoke about them, especially since they're really an unknown entity at that point. And I did like there was something that was that second last stanza. A lucky red seed be me on Arctic Highway, red spot of love on nature's white spray. A dewdrop be me on volcanic fire bay, picking soot for minds roaring in dismay. Itsy bitsy pixel be me, itsy bitsy pixel colorful be me, blending with splash of galactic orb rays. I like that note of that. And then the note of being a river and flowing in the moment. The idea of going with it instead of fighting against it, because in that moment you're actually free within the melee itself. So I like that thought. Nice, Shalini. Thank you. All right, Pam, what about you?
I like what you mentioned about being free within that moment. I like how there's this back and forth at first with this idea of two people passing judgment on each other. Though I suppose it could be two separate people, or it could be just a person being self-critical of themselves. But I get the impression that the first couple of stanzas, first stanza and a half, really speak on the idea of learning not to care so much about what other people think. I really like where it says, starry catalog faults and replay as slander alarms thin brain's facade. I like how that speaks on those alarms going off, but it also makes me think of that recently I watched the movie The Fault in Our Stars, and it made me think of that movie and the whole idea of how life doesn't go as you expect it. I have to say, I think, though, that one of the best lines in this whole poem is the itsy bitsy pixel, colorful be me. I love the phrase itsy bitsy pixel and how, to me anyways, it speaks on the idea that we are made up of all these little fractions of moments in our life, all these colorful photographs that we take pictures of, and we put them all together to create this pixel of our life. And, you know, kind of that at first is blurry and then comes into focus, so we're able to see the big picture. You know, I just think this is a quite a clever and entertaining write and very well done.
All right. Where are we going next?
All right. And now we're going to have you earn your keep by reading And the Wind is Filled with Horses by Jim Bellamy.
All right. And the Wind is Filled with Horses by Jim Bellamy. In the times that break apart from spire to skin bone, rhyme, who is all, and all the slaves, the eagle in the mind. Where goes the angled knock of seared and serried graves in the oceans of the heart, the sires of music rays? And should the angels drop from hireling heaven down, or should the shining crop of corn and caressed down drown, then there would be no rhyme except the light that shifts and the sighs of music locks would spiral from the past. And for the shroud or flame of Bible book or flower on the spindrift wires of time and the motions in a tower For the stations of the breath and the seashores and spine, whereby the seasons drift, the sides of music chime. And should the angels drop from piling heaven down, or should the shining crop of corn and cactus seed drown, then there would be no rhyme except the light which shifts and the airs of music locked would spiral from the pan. Fed up with contusions, fed up with the shame, fed up with St. Peter and his pearly gates of flame, a tapestry was woven, a tapestry of fear. In and out of cyclones, Christ whispers in our ear, I cannot make it here, I have no stone to own, this earth of mutineers is ever bleached at bone. I cannot make it here, with God's rondelay, the world is mine as sun, there's nothing more to say. La 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 la. After the sacks are filled with the horses and the shouts have all gone, the thread, you can hear sweet Mary sweeping and Jesus breaking his bread. A tomb is eerily creeping along the fleeces of red light. Somewhere a mare is sleeping, somewhere a moon has no Christ. And the wind is filled with horses, and the wind is filled with horses. The camp lights, they turn green with the sorrow and dream, a sentinel for all the dread, the wards of Mallow. They wall off from the scene for the Christ that is placed dead. And the wind is filled with horses, and the wind is filled with horses. Will the stars ever resemble the token gear they've blown in a life? And with a rush and a roll and reason, they whisper, how are the teacher's knives? And the wind is filled with horses, and the wind is filled with horses, and the wind is filled with horses. And the wind is filled with horses. Ooh, everybody, look to the bodied wind, whirlwind. Ooh, everybody scream. Ooh, everybody vanish to God's island. Ooh, everybody sunder, love silence. And as ashen raiders romanticize the rain, may evil demons rain, dust from dizzy American eyes. Ooh, everybody stare at the hot, cold, thin air. Hereby, I espy a mind inside a high chair climbing after hair. And odes to ogres may well rise. Ooh, everybody look to the hooded whirlwind. Ooh, everybody scream forever more. End point.
Bravo. Oh, that was a great read. Yeah, I thought this was a great response to the song The Wind Cries Mary. It had a wonderful lyrical quality, especially where he got into some of the repetition and the rhyme. I really like where he says, fed up with conclusions, fed up with the shame, fed up with St. Peter and his pearly gates of flame. A tapestry was woven, a tapestry of fear, and in and out the cyclones, Christ whispers in our ear, I cannot make it here, I have no stones to own. This earth of mutineers is ever bleached at bone. I like how that speaks on it makes me think of the whole idea of hypocrisy. And those who will willingly throw stones at others without first acknowledging their own sins. I also like where it says, ooh, everybody look to the bodied whirlwind. Ooh, everybody scream. Ooh, everybody vanish to God's island. Ooh, everybody sunder love sirens. And as ashen raiders romanticize the rain, may evil demons ream dust from dizzy American eyes. I really felt like where it says, as ashen raiders romanticize the rain, it's that whole idea of the romanticism, I think, of evil and, how fact and fiction get messed up. And the wind is filled with horses. There's something very mythological. Like I think of the flying Pegasus and the myths of Greek and Roman mythology. What else? I mean, there's a lot of great lines to clasp onto. The sires of music chime, and should the angels drop from hireling heaven down, or should the shining crop of corn and tape seed drown? then there would be no rhyme except for the light which shifts and the sires of music lopped would spiral from the pith. And those lines I like because they speak to me on the idea that sometimes when all else is destroyed, the only light we have left is music. And so all in all, throughout this whole poem, I get this idea of self-destruction and heading towards the flame and the shadows, but finding within those flames and shadows the light of music. So excellent write and very well done.
I'm going to go with this kind of sweeps on the note of death itself. Not for the shroud or flame of Bible book or flower, or the spindrift wires of time and the motions in a tower, for the stations of the breath and the seashores in a spine, whereby the seasons drift, the sighs of music chime. And should the angels drop from hireling heaven down, or should the shining crop of corn and cake seed drown, then there would be no rhyme except the light which shifts and sighs of music lofts would spiral from the pit. The music loft, the idea of death in that moment, and the spiral out from that angle. Fed up with contusion, fed up with the shame, fed up with St. Peter and his pearly gates of flame. A tapestry was woven, a tapestry of fear. In and out of cyclones, Christ whispers in our ear. I cannot make it here, I have no stone to own. This earth of mutineers has ever bleached a bone. I cannot make it here with God's long delay. The world is mine, its sun, there's nothing more to say. And then that note of, after all the sacks are filled with horses and the shrouds have all gone to thread. It's got hits the idea of ancient burial rituals and the fact that eventually they all dust out as well. And the wind is filled with horses. And the wind is filled with horses. I get that as the note to a funeral march. Something classical, old, instead of you've got a horse-drawn hearse carriage, and you get that note of the wind is filled with horses. The idea of not just the sound being carried, but also the aromas of the horses themselves, so you understand what's going on in the moment. And what's it? Hereby I spy in my mind a high chair climbing after hair, and those the ogres may well riot, who everybody looked to the hooded whirlwind, who everybody screamed forevermore. Kind of an idea, get with a note to honoring the greatness going forward.
Oh, I like those thoughts. That's actually really cool. And I could definitely see that with the whole funeral march and the moving forward to what's next. I will say that as you were reading the part about I cannot make it here, I suddenly had it flash in my head that it kind of made me think of green eggs and ham. I cannot eat green eggs and ham. I cannot eat them, Sam. I am. I cannot eat them with a boat. In a boat, I cannot eat them with a goat.
So what's next?
Let's see here. First of all, I'm just really quickly checking something, making sure I haven't missed something. But I guess not. Okay. All right. All good. So up next, we have Strawberry Skies by Naomi Sarah. Soaring high on strawberry skies, let your freak flag fly, eating sunflower seeds, smoking weed, having fun, hanging with my hun, floating around the air between somewhere, way down here and away up there, dancing bare feet in the grass while the breeze blows sweet, lost in pink petal dreams. Birds singing in the trees and sun shining down on me. We lay atop each other's shadow. Let our minds go free of worry. Spiraling into big and blue, away drifting, me and you. lost in sweet strawberry skies. Nothing else matters but peace and loving kind of vibes. Are we all voodoo child? Hey, shout out to Joe, who's always on the run, chasing life down with a gun. Hey, 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 come join us in our purple haze. End poem.
Nice read.
Thank you.
Kind of sounds like the original Summer of Love, 1967, when everything still seemed to walk in possibilities, and we hadn't yet been enthralled with the likes of Me Lai and all the untold body counts that would keep raising up for the next 7 years, and the fact that we didn't appreciate those poor boys getting sent over there. They paid an ultimate price, and a lot were just trying to go the other route and didn't honor them. In fact, looked down on them and spat on them. So this kind of just walks in that note of looking at a brighter outlook in the moment before everything got turned on its head. But she does hit on a couple of songs, Hey Joe, Voodoo Child, and Purple Haze. But she walks in everything else. That's your freak flag by the sunflower seeds, the weed, dancing barefoot in the grass, pink petal dreams, sweet strawberry skies. So a bright outlook, which heralded in the end of the 60s at the back end, especially with what went on here, unfortunately. What do you think?
I like this. Yeah, it does have that whole, like, summer of love, hippie vibe. I love the title, Strawberry Skies. Soaring high on strawberry skies, let your freak flag fly. This is a wonderful tribute, not only to love and freedom of thought, but also to Jimi Hendrix himself, with the mention of Hey Joe and Voodoo Child and Purple Haze and the quote that says if something about what is it, if I'm free, it's because I'm running all the time. I thought there was a nice nod to that quote in the end. And that was, who's always on the run, chasing life down with a gun. I also really like the imagery of dancing bare feet in the grass while the breeze blows sweet, lost in pink petal dreams, birds singing in the trees and sun shining down on me. We lay atop each other's shadow, let our minds go free of worry. I really love that line, we lay atop each other's shadow. There's a certain sensuality to it, but there's also this idea of covering up each other's darkness, almost like being the light within each other's lives. And I really like how she placed her stanzas in such a way that the words flow back and forth, which I think works really well to appear as if they're like a trail of smoke floating up towards the sky. So amazing write and very well done.
All right.
All right. Let's see what we got next. Yeah, I would say Naomi was definitely purpling her haze with that, right? And definitely channeling some Jimi Hendrix vibes for sure. And up next we have Bicycle by S. Sharp. And go ahead, please, Rex, and give that a read.
Bicycle by S. Sharp. A bicycle. Sometimes my chain falls off. My sprocket just spins and spins, but I go nowhere. At times, my tires go flat, wobbling slowly, and with great difficulty, I push along uphill, even going down. My handlebars, a bit of a killer, a bit off kilter. Streamers hanging, red, white, and blue. My carrots in the basket. I ding, ding the bell. Nobody pays attention. People ride me all through this life until their feet fall off the pedals. Nutcracker on Christmas night, a present left under the tree. And poem. All right. What do you think about that?
Well, you know what? I will be the first one to admit that I'm not 100% sure what prompt he wrote to, but I like the write. I like the bicycle being used as an extended metaphor for a person who is getting nowhere in life. The personification of the bicycle, the extended metaphor works really well. My sprocket just spins and spins, but I go nowhere. It's that whole idea to me of the being that hamster running on the wheel. And let's see, what else here? People ride me all through this life until their feet fall off the pedals. Nutcracker on a Christmas night, a present left under the tree. That was, I think, had a great W innuendo or whatever you call it, a great sense of humor. But, as if it's that kind of somebody being used over and over again by people that finally gets their moment of revenge. I ding, ding the bell, nobody pays attention. You know, it feels like sometimes you have a voice and you try to speak up and you try to say what you feel, but unfortunately people are too busy entertaining themselves, too busy with their own selves, their own problems, to be worried about somebody who is just simply is falling apart. But I'm definitely interested in hearing what you have to say, Rex, and if you have any guesses as to which prompt this was written to.
Let's see. I have to go look at the prompts. Not that one. Prompt-wise,
your guess is as good as mine.
Let's see. No.
Maybe it's the one about running away.
Could be. Well, it could be. I'm a million miles away at the same time. I'm right here in your picture frame.
Oh, that one. Yeah, that might be it. I could see that working with that one.
Okay, all right. And yeah, I do like the metaphor in this, the idea of being that reliable that you get used continuously. The idea of a sprocket just spins and spins, but I go nowhere. Kind of hits you hit the hamster wheel. I think the mind in that moment, the brain spinning, but it's going nowhere because there's too much going on. Tires go flat, wobbling slowly. The idea of everybody gets ill at some time or feel out of sorts. So that. The handlebars, a bit off kilter, stream is hanging red, white, and blue. My carrots in the basket, I ding, ding, the battle. Nobody pays attention. That does hit on the idea of somebody everyone sees but doesn't really see. And there's no thought to who this person is. And I do like the last one, that bites a nutcracker on a Christmas night, a present left under the tree. Kind of hits me with the idea. Everybody gets their just desserts, so to speak. and that present under the tree, a box of coal.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Just desserts.
Oh, Naomi's out with my buddies, flying through the stars.
That's right. She is. She's like, that's from all that purple haze and strawberry skies, soaring with your aliens, Rex. All right.
We got next?
What was that?
What's up next?
Up next, we have Solo by Robert J. Tice, and it goes like this. Between red measures of anemic days and every violet ending to be reached, new blues and music cue from changes made, one orange note approaching lemon next, near emerald or veering indigo to drive the disembodied song of life from bloodless lumps of deathly quietude, that stillness amid wake and afterlife. It's in the way we must rise, noises sing, so barren souls can turn kaleidoscopes, reflecting spirits, minds, all things at once, with symmetries, complexities, full range of strangeness, clashing tones, chromatic light, vibrations breaking desolation down through instruments we choose to rouse or leave. Once at that stage before the roar of time, our moment's purple solo where we blaze. If we be thunderbolts, then shake the craven haze. End poem.
Great read, Sam and Robert. So you've got to know what goes between the notes. So the solo hits on that idea of a little bit of a repertoire and something that just goes off the normal path and produces something else besides. Between red measures of anemic days and every violet ending to be reached, new blues and music cue from changes made. There's a nice touch to that, sort of what can be birthed out of that that intonation in the moment, and then move forward. One orange note approaching lemon next, near emerald or veering indigo, to drive the disembodied song of life from bloodless slumps of deathly quietude. The idea of waking up the sleeping essence within, because you hit the, it's in this way we must make raise noises, sing so bad souls can turn kaleidoscopes, reflecting spirits, minds, all things at once with symmetries, complexities, full range of strangeness, clashing tones, chromatic light. The idea of putting music together in such a way that it actually offers up and speaks to those listening. Because the back end he rolls into, once at the stage before the roar of time, one moment's purple solo where we blaze. If we be thunderbolts, then shake the craven haze. It's on the idea of purple haze in there. The idea of the solo being the essence or the climax that brings everybody in tune with each other, and just letting that idea run its course through you into the crowd itself, and shake up the essence of a state society. All right, what about you?
Well, first of all, I liked your observations there. Very cool. I love his use of colors, you know, especially when he goes one orange note approaching lemon next, near emerald or veering indigo. And it makes me think about how, you know, they speak on the idea of people having auras and auras being different colors, and each musical note being a representation of a person's soul, and a reflection of that color. And to me, orange and lemon are those sharp, bright notes, those higher notes. And the emerald and indigo are the deeper notes. At least, you know, that's how I see it. But I love this tribute to music and to the music that you could see within Jimi Hendrix playing and music. And I really like where it says, it's in this way we must raise noises, sing, so barren souls can turn kaleidoscopes. You know, there's such a sense of, at times, emptiness and despair in this world. And music has the vibrations of music, as he mentioned, vibrations breaking desolation down. You know, it has that ability to paint the world in colors. And I like how the solo speaks on the musical solo, but I think it also speaks on the idea of spending time, you know, getting to know ourselves, getting to know our own inner music and our own inner colors. But brilliant, right, and very well done.
Nice. All right. What we doing next?
Up next, we have Shattered Illusion by Jody Melton. And go ahead, please, Rex, and give that a read.
Shattered Illusion by Jody Melton. In a chamber of silvered glass I dwelled, enclosed within where only I myself beheld, mirrors upon mirrors, a maze of me, in every direction my own eyes did see. A kingdom of solitude, a crown of reflection, the echo of my thoughts, my soul connection. I was the monarch, the pauper, the mime, in a silent ballet, lost in time. But in this reflection, a truth unkind, the world beyond by my own design confined, a revelation stark and sheer. The world was vast, and I was merely here. With spirits in hand, a hammer to be, I struck at the glass, a desire to be free, a shattering crescendo, a liberating crash, a symphony of fragments, a mosaic of my past. Free from the prison of my own creation, I stepped through the ruins of palpable relation. The whole world awaited a canvas unrolled, a spectrum of stories yet to be told. I found in the wreckage a reflection true, not just of myself, but of a world I never knew. A mosaic of humanity, a kaleidoscope of life, far from the echo chamber of internal strife. In the mirror's demise, I began to see a world of connections of you and me, the fragments, a lesson, a truth to behold in the shattered mirrors. My story unfolds. The world is a mirror in its own subtle way, reflecting our deeds in the light of day. In the eyes of others, our spirits dance in the grand reflection. We all take our chance. And Paul, all right, what do you think?
Great read, Rex. Oh, I really liked this one. And Jody wrote to the quote, I used to live in a room full of mirrors. All I could see was me. I take my spirit and I crash my mirrors. Now the whole world is here for me to see. I thought this had wonderful rhyme and flow. A great message on breaking out of our solitude and finding connection with other people. But I think also I really like that he speaks on the mosaic, a symphony of fragments of mosaic of my past, how we become, the big picture of ourselves becomes beautiful and complete when we take the broken pieces of our past. And also the broken pieces of humanity can be made into something beautiful. I really like where he says, with spirit in hand, a hammer to be, I struck at the glass, a desire to be free, a shattering crescendo, a liberating crash, a symphony of fragments, a mosaic of my past. And those are wonderful lines because oftentimes when we put ourselves in a self-made prison, we don't break free until we decide that we want to be free. You know, as long as we keep ourselves chained to what we believe to be our own limitations, you know, we're never going to be free. I like where he also says, the fragments a lesson of truth to behold, in the shattered mirrors my story unfolds. The world is a mirror in its own subtle way, reflecting our deeds in the light of day. And that is so true. I mean, not every person you do good for is going to do good back, but for the most part, I think, at least I believe, that there will be those times that the light you put out into the world will be the light that you get back. So very beautiful and thoughtful, right, and very well done.
Nice. I'm going to go with the synchronicity of self. When you've got a mirror or a room full of mirrors, it only objectively shows one thing. That is you. Not one single side, just that which looks back into the mirror itself, so you can see the visage coming back at you. So you get a monocular view of yourself and the world instead of a stereoscopic view, which is what you get with two eyes open. So the mirror representing that singularity of synchronicity to self, yet, but also the singularity of how you view everything in the world. Because of that mirror, you're looking at it through one eye open, one eye closed. So the idea of breaking the mirrors is to open up the second eye, get that stereo view where you've got a little bit more of a wide-angle bite at all that is going on, all of that which you have chambered and stuck in the slot and ignored. And that is the idea of the back end here. The world is a mirror in its own subtle way, reflecting our deeds in the light of day. In the eyes of others, our spirits dance. In the grand reflection, we all take our chance. The idea, you can hide all you want, but if you refuse to take a chance, then you've got nobody to blame but yourself for what unfolds within yourself.
I like that thought.
All right.
Very cool. All right, let's see what we have next. Up next, we have Sag Downstream by K.F. Heartless. The day is done for, and I'm riding Nightfall Stretch limo to its funeral, a sunset processional. If I'm still alive tomorrow, if I'm free, it's because I'm running through the clouds. A forest filled with smoke rings. Hate has taken everything at once from me. I'm a butterfly with no camouflage on my wings. Whatever it is that kills us, doubt, disease, the rage inside us, or the purple haze that makes us choke, in between the cliffs of a guitar riff, we recall that life is nothing more than a well-known joke. End poem.
I like the back end of that. A touch of humor. Hey, life is nothing but a joke. Hey, and the joke's on us. Because you know what? You get to die right before you actually make anything of yourself. Or before you get to grow up. Or before you get to do anything at all. I like this nice intonation. I had, and the roll-up top done for, and I'm writing Nightfall Stretch Limo to its funeral, a sunset professional, a processional. I like that. And the note, if I'm still alive tomorrow, if I'm free, it's because I'm running through the clouds, the forest filled with snow rings. Forest filled with rings of smoke through the trees. That's out of Stairway to Heaven. Nice touch with that. Plus the purple haze at the back end of this. And in between the cliffs of a guitar riff, we recall that life is nothing more than a well-known joke. And the idea is, hey, you should be living it all in the moment. Don't let a day go unkilled, so to speak. Take everything out of it that you can.
I like what you had to say there, and that is so true. You know, the message of not taking any life for granted and living in the moment. I like how this speaks on wanting to escape a world of hate. If I'm still alive tomorrow, if I'm free, it's because I'm running through the clouds, a forest filled with smoke rings. I thought those were wonderful lines. Hate has taken everything it wants from me. I'm a butterfly with no camouflage on my wings. I love those lines and the thought that, you know, hate always seems to look for the most positive, the most colorful people, the people who want to lift others up or lift themselves up. And it wants, you know, people who hate or people who are miserable, like, well, it's like that saying, misery loves company. And whatever it is that kills us, doubt, disease, the rage inside us, or the purple haze that makes us choke. And, you know, I liked how that gave a nod towards that idea that, you know, eventually the end will come to all of us. You know, eventually we will either be killed off, we will be killed off physically, but some of us will be killed off even before then. When we choose to be filled, I think, with so much rage and so much doubt, we kill off the potential for humanity within ourselves. But that definitely was a clever ending and the whole joke of life. So just as always, a brilliant write by K.F. Heartless and very well done.
Nice.
All right. And up next we have I Am That I Am by Eric Svensson, who was nice enough to supply us with a recording. So here we go.
I am that I am. So many leaks to plug. Emotions dyke always a-weeping. Jimmy's nimble fingers thimble. Plectrum becomes planchette. Guitar sound box unleashes the hounds of Baskerville. Chief Sultan of Swing Twangs twist a southern Aladdin's piety. A whole new world unfurls. State society sobriety may hull, but fearless guitar man speaks freely. I am that I am through music. Sound did create the Big Bang eons ago. Logos sought a home, a tactile, acoustic, atmospheric sphere. Super Cali, fragilistic, expialidocious, Hendrix obliged. We are that we are. Musical notes in a never-ending story. Find your specific plectrum space. Your keynote contribution tweaks, ensures emotions leaking dikes are plugged. David's harp became Jimmy's guitar, a speaking in tongues, fearless, fiery flames question, spy on a plausible, possible Canaan. Starman, guitar man, vociferous Superman, musical attaché, unattached. Open the latch, open the hatch, let the sun shine in, bro. Clutch, clasp of coffin lid came too fast. 30s club joined at 27. Alden dash, cease. Cerebellum, antebellum, no more cry wolf. Stern sticks no more hurt him, white bones and red blood. End poem.
Great read, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. All right, Pam, what do you got?
Oh, this is wonderful. It's always great to hear Eric read his own poetry. He's got an amazing reading voice. And I really like the, well, first of all, he wrote to the quote, "You have to forget about what other people say when you're supposed to die or when you're supposed to be loving. You have to forget about all these things." Great title, I Am That I Am. And so many leaks to plug, Emotions Dyke, Always a Weeping, Jimmy's Nimble Fingers, Thimble, Plectrum Becomes Plachette, Guitar Sound Box Unleashes the Hounds of Baskerville. I really like how Guitar Sound Box Unleashes the Hounds of Baskerville speaks on the way that, you know, that Jimmy could make a guitar howl. I think this is a wonderful tribute to Jimi Hendrix, to his individuality. And another part I really like is where he says, David's harp became Jimmy's guitar, speaking in tongues, fearless, fiery flames, questions, fire, implausible, possible, Canaan. And I think those are wonderful lines to me that speak on the spirituality of music. And then, of course, he's got a nod at the end to Jimmy was one of the 27 club members. Clutch clasp of coffin lid came too fast. 30s club joined at 27. All din dash ceased. Cerebellum, antebellum, no more cry wolf. And it is a sad thing that such talent was lost at such a young age. To me, he really does a great job on speaking on the spiritual and emotional message that came through with Jimi Hendrix's music, and also the fact that, you know, this was truly one of many lives that just ended too early, and so excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely, I didn't like that. Jimmy's Nimble Fingers, Thimble, Plectrum Becomes Planchette, Guitar Sound Box Unleashes the Hounds of Basketball. A nice thought with that, Hounds of Basketball, something a little bit different. Chief Sultan of Swing, kind of a little nod there to Dire Straits, Sultan of Swing. Twang's Twist, the Southern Aladdin Piety, A Whole New World Unfurls, State Society, Sobriety May Hurl, The Fearless Guitar Man Speaks Freely. And then that note, I Am That I Am Through Music, explaining him. But then he goes into the rest of us. We are that we are. Musical notes in a never-ending story. Find your specific plectrum space. Your keynote contribution tweaks ensures emotions leaking back to the plug. It's often, you got the note of Hendrix there, but also right in the middle, that idea of finding your own note within the harmonic balance of the universe. And then that thought to David's harp being Jimmy's guitar now. Starman, Guitarman, Vociferous Superman, Musical Attaché, Unattached, Open the Hatch, Let the Sun Shine In, Bro. I did like that last one, too, the clutch clasp of coffin that came too fast. And Stone Sticks, No More Hurt Him, White Bones and Red Blood. I'll clutch the finish. Well done, Eric. Thank you.
All right, and up next we have Go Jimmy by Peter Solway. And go ahead, please, Rex, and give that a read.
Go Jimmy by Peter Solway. Full blast to yell in stage's direction, elevated response, skies of tongue kissing, aerial recitation. Go, Jimmy. No apology needed. All lyricists to have bright days. Hotel rooms in Boston. Yankee whores gone. Jimmy scoring none. Excuse me whilst I piss more like bracelets collection. Urine of white colonization. Garden performance. Drown a witch. Foxy bitch. Sliding his fingers along neck of musical palace. We, whatever the African spelling. Jimmy in heated concert, excusing himself again with elephant tongue, bit more of sky kicking. White drummer to bang saucepans, experience the loud moment, experience almost everything. Go, Jimmy, once I screamed. End poem. All right.
Great read there, Rex. I like this. It's got a great bite to it, strong imagery and metaphors. I like the sense of humor in it, especially with no apology needed, all lyricists to have blank days, hotel rooms in Boston, Yankee whores gone, Jimmy scoring none. If I remember right, you mentioned that, didn't Jimi Hendrix go off to like Europe or something because he wasn't finding didn't he go across the pond to like England to play for a while?
He went to London where the boys out there found him fascinating. Eric Clapton, when he first heard his God, I have to hang up my guitar because there's nothing like this. And it's funny because Jimmy played with he bent the strings so much they had to keep retuning the guitar to his shows. But he wasn't the first one using feedback. That came with, Jeff Beck was the first one playing with feedback there, even a couple of years before Hendrix. But Hendrix mastered the idea of feedback and how to use it to amplify himself, his music, and his ideas.
I like that. I feel like that was something I didn't know. That's very cool about the feedback thing. But yeah, I feel like that second stanza speaks on the idea of Jimi Hendrix not getting what he expected out of American music, and so therefore going across the pond. I also like where Peter says, sliding his fingers along neck of musical phallus, we, whatever the African spelling, Jimmy in heated concert excusing himself again with elephant tongue, bit more of sky kissing. And I like where he takes it and turns the phrase, excuse me, into an apologetic tone. And of course, you know, the musical phallus is a great line for the idea of the sexuality that comes across oftentimes in the rebellion of the rock music of the 60s and 70s, and even just rock music in general throughout history. But definitely a clever write and very well done.
Yep, he does the tongue kiss and hitting on the idea of purple haze, but he also got a foxy bitch in there, a foxy lady. What else did he, I thought the excusing himself again with elephant tongue, a bit more sky kissing. I guess the elephant tongue kind of hit on the idea of cotton mouth in the moment. And then he hits on, where was it? Experience the loud moment, experience almost everything. Go, Jimmy, once I scream. Experience being the Hendrix's fan, the Jimi Hendrix experience. It was just Noel Redding and Mitch behind him. So it was just the three of them in the moment. They were what you would call the first. Because Cream had already done it, but Hendrix followed up and just kind of blew the doors off of everybody. Because everything was centered around him. And there was one time, it was in March of 67, Sergeant Pepper had just come out on Friday. By Sunday, Jimi Hendrix had learned the album, and he took it to stage on that Sunday and played it with, I think, McCartney, Lennon, and Harrison in the audience. And after going through one of the songs, is Eric out there? Eric, I need my guitar tunes. he didn't know how to do it.
Oh, wow. That is really cool. Fun facts. I could just imagine that. Can you imagine being there in that moment? That would be cool. But, well, up next, and you are still there, right, Rex? Oh, yes, you are. Okay.
Nope.
Smart ass. All right. Well, up next we have Kiss That Sky by Julie Buck. They say we have choices. What was there really for a black man born in the 40s? In a measure of time, I'm surprised looking back. I don't want to rattle any cages, sweet Mr. Jimmy, but the echo of your songs runs parallel with my heart. And I don't mean to start any shit, but I live and I cry just like you did. Sometimes I'd get so high, I'd be much like you, and I'd want to kiss the sky. I'm behind in music, yet on time for other less real shit. I'd never mock you, Jimmy, so when you see me stare like I am now, it's because I'm pissed off that people don't get it. Pardon me for having no class, but I just gotta tell someone, anyone, and I'm not even sure why, but yo, out there, kiss my freaking ass. While you, Jimmy, stay busy kissing that sky. End poem.
Great read. A nice note to, I guess, tribute there, the idea of that back end there, but yo, out there, kiss my freaking ass, is, I don't know, a leftover note to Rebellion, which didn't set early, but is now it's setting in about telling people to kiss my friggin' ass. And the idea of you stay busy kissing that sky. The idea of I'm still here, so they can kiss my ass, but you can still kiss that sky because you have moved on to another realm, which... Yeah, one day I might be there too. I like that note. What about you?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the idea of, that she mentions of rebellion, especially. And, you know, I really enjoy and appreciate Julie's sense of humor and her attitude that she so often brings into writing, especially, you know, within those end lines. Like, pardon me for having no class, but I just got to tell someone, anyone. And I'm not even sure why, but yo, out there, kiss my freaking ass while you, Jimmy, stay busy kissing that sky. I also really like where she says, I'm behind in music, yet on time for other less real shit. You know, and honestly, a lot of the music today isn't even worth keeping up with. Although I will admit there was stuff that my older kids listened to that I really like. You know, back in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, I guess. But, you know, I mean, I still occasionally will come across something that my kids are listening to that I appreciate. But, you know, a lot of it's lost that classic feel. I also like this phrase right here. I don't want to rattle any cages, sweet Mr. Jimmy, but the echo of your song runs parallel with my heart. And I like that because I think, you know, oftentimes we all find those songs or that music that just says what our own heart is feeling. So wonderful write by Julie and very well done. Up next we have Purple Haze, All in My Brain by Lauren67. And go ahead, please, Rex, and give that a read.
All right. Purple Haze All in My Brain by Lauren67. The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and His Homie Alfie. Purple Haze All in My Brain. Princess caught me with that sleepy tabby and poked me in the eye. Excuse me, while I kiss my eye. Purple haze all around, think I'm gonna cry, cause Princess poked me in the eye. Now she wants me to tell on me just because I like to wear her panties. Help me, help me. Oh no, no, no. Alfie, you're stupid. No, I'm not. I'm Alfie Hendricks. Yeah. That's all.
Great read there, Rex. And what another great write of, and fun write by Lauren67. I really like how Alfie got into the whole Jimi Hendrix vibe. He just started grooving. I particularly got a big kick out of, purple haze all around. Think I'm going to cry because Princess poked me in the eye. And now she wants to tell on me just because I like to wear her panties. And I have to say, you really got into the uhs and the uhs. And that was awesome, Rex. But, I have to say that Alfie Hendrix definitely put on quite the performance. So very well done.
Oh, I like that. I think this is an extension off the catnip episode because Purple Haze All in My Brain. Great lead-in for that. And then it rolls against Purple Haze All Around. Think I'm going to cry because Princess poked me in the eye. What was the princess wearing? Considering you're wearing her panties. Well, Alfie, you've been caught. See what happens when you get into the catnip and you get purple haze?
You end up wearing panties.
That was unexpected. Thank you, Lawrence.
All right. Great writing. And up next, we have Postcard from London, 1967, by Daylight Stevens. And it goes like this. We splayed the stereo all night, Dago posters pinned to a firewall next to the radiator, Black Brother, guitar idol in the watchtower, graduate of jump school, learned to turn his axe upside down, jumping out of airplanes into dark blue rivers with jazz banks. Pop got a card from Jimmy overseas, Animals bass player, swung him a deal and two limeys for the experience. Then it was sassafras, incense, rocket machinery, sex screams, big amps, fiery strats, Monterey, Dock, Isle of Wight. 6 turned out to be 9 at 27. All the jacks are in their boxes, wild thing dying on the vine. End poem.
Great read, man. Damn. I like this. It's good. He hit on a number of things. Big graduate of jump school. Axe turned upside down. Well, they didn't make a left-handed guitar at the time, so he had to go with what was available. The jump out of airplanes, yes, and to dark blue rivers with jazz bands. I like that note thing. Two limeys for the experience. A double dip on that one. Sassafras incense. I have to hit me with the that song that came out in 65, Innocence and Peppermints. Nice touch. I like that. Rocket machinery, sex screams, big amps, fiery strats, Monterey, Woodstock, Isle of Wight. Damn. Hey, nicely done. And that, what was it? I think somebody, I forget who it was. I think it might have been Paul McCartney at one time, because Hendrix wasn't scheduled for Monterey, and everybody knew he should be there. I think McCartney hit the promoters up and said, "You got to have this kid on board. He'll light you up." And funny part is, I think who was there at that time too, and Townsend always broke a guitar on stage. So that night, well, that afternoon, Jimmy lit his on fire. Got to show everybody a little bit more.
Oh, wow. Very cool comment there, Rex. Yeah, you know what? I was really happy with that. Daylight Stevens was inspired. And I just thought this was a brilliant tribute to Jimi Hendrix. And it's not a particularly long poem, but he's got, as you were mentioning, just a lot of goodies in here. I even like where he says, "We splayed the stereo all night, day glow posters pinned to a firewall." I thought bringing in the day glow posters was a nice reflection of the time period. I also like that he used the phrase, his axe, you know, the whatever you, I don't know if it's a nickname, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, like
yep.
The word axe for a guitar. Like, I've heard that before, and I thought that was great. I noticed in his AN, he mentioned that Hendrix's first U.S. tour was opening for the show or for the TV band, the Monkees.
That didn't last long. I think it was just a couple of shows because they knew it wouldn't work because the music was very different. And the kids there were coming to see the Monkees anyway. Wasn't the crowd for Jimmy.
Well, you know what? And that makes sense. As soon as you started saying that, I thought, yep, it's two different styles. Definitely I could see that not working. I like where he says guitar idol in the watchtower, graduate of jump school, but it's not towards the watchtower, which, you know, All Along the Watchtower, which was written and originally sung by Bob Dylan, but I believe it was you who said this one time, that Bob Dylan was so impressed with Jimi Hendrix's version of singing and guitar playing of the Watchtower that he said that the song now belonged to him, that he had done it far better than he ever could have. And, you know, I just think this is a thoughtful and intelligent tribute that really brings us into the whole Jimi Hendrix experience. So excellent, right, and very well done.
All right, what's up next?
All right, well, that was the rights from all the rights that I had on the board from the Jimi Hendrix show. So now I'm actually going to get into some carryovers from the last Break On Through show from the Absurdity contest. And so with that being said, we have Up My Alley by Peter Solway. Racing Crownus, Always Off, Work or Nightclub, Home and Sport, Latest News Report, Good Times, Traffic. Oh, wait, did I read the last poem? I did read the last poem, didn't I? I forgot that. I don't know why I thought you did. Well, you know what? You're going to read Peter Solway. So.
All right. Up My Alley by Peter Solway. Racing Crownus, Always Off, Work or Nightclub, Home and Sport, Latest News Reports. Good Times Traffic, Swift Bursts of Modern Intercourse, Then Like Alzheimer's, Strange Latin, Gone. stop light on, racing Cronus, god of time, speeding course to slow down, waiting with mother in nursing home. Last hours of little conversation, dialogue of the desperate living, compendium of sharing, man in round moon month. Sitting at home, internet on, memories with their bright breaks on, Cronus on iPhone, deal in Hong Kong. Funeral arrangements for next of kin, black suit dry clean, puppet master looking down. Oh, give that creative some valium. Yet a communist pope to bless, Catholic shoot, striking him off mother's remembrance list, others dismiss. A selective rung on the free food chain, sausage and fish for everyone, citizens of nutrition, wine of Goldilocks. Porridge, way too much. Poor narrator, stanza maker, gone detour with the blackfellas, quick walk around Australia. Slow center to cook, far from grog and welfare, green lights to self-funded future, Wu-Tang band coming round the bend. Orbits busy, universe of merry drunkenness, once upon a koala time, just fuck off tourists, click, click, clicking. Ancient caucus to come, slain victim of Cronus, Latin assassins, Italian couple arguing above. Another car shortly starting, heading home where is unknown, swift as Gulliver, quick as lean wit. Some part in love's business, breaking wind, speed limits with the shits trying to return home. Koala swerving, Byronic cursing, some mutant Don Juan spotlight lived loving. Oh, Juliet of Cronus check to halt some swept away poets. Library opened all hours, airports all night. Vincent in train station of dark, always heading north. Stars of the dearly departed, gods of a frugal earth to cough. Frozen potatoes in the deep freeze section. Shivering Sisyphus with trolley pushing on. Star over Bethlehem, aisle 16, exploding latest headlines. Up my alley of slime, confusions, timeline crimes, Boy Scouts done, sentient bins, standards of stench, chained hound barking, Anubis, something sublime, and poem.
Great right. Read there, Wes.
That was a couple of mouthfuls.
Yeah, I like this one. I thought it fit really well for a write or a contest. About absurdity, and what I had said is that I thought it was complete and total craziness that is a boatload of fun and fury. I enjoyed reading this, and it makes me think of the bumper car rides at the fair, but I also saw a lot of references to really the chaos of time and life, like race and Cronus, Cronus being the god of time, and the always off work or nightclub. Idea of the race against time and, you know, always, you know, at the nightclub makes me think of somebody having that, you know, existential midlife crisis or something like that. And last hours of little conversation, dialogue of the desperate living, compendium of sharing, man in round moon mum. I like how there's this whole idea of trying to convince ourselves that there's some purpose in life. I think that also comes across where he says, where was that? Frozen potatoes in the deep freeze section, shivering Sisyphus, with trolley pushing on, star over Bethlehem, aisle 16, exploding latest headlines. You know, we try to find purpose and meaning in the latest news. And I like that he brings in Sisyphus, who is a symbolism of not only Greek mythology. He's not only Greek mythology, but he's the symbolism used within philosophy of absurdism, of the futility of pushing the rock up the hill over and over again. And there's this futility of living everyday life, of pushing that shopping cart, of searching for that meaning in aisle 16 and coming to that sad and cold realization that it's not going to be found. Amazing right and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. I think the absurdity in it just keeps unfolding upon itself. Ancient carcass to come, slain victim of Cronus, Latin assassins, Italian couple arguing above. Kind of a little mafia note. Some partner in love's business breaking wind. Speed limits with the ships trying to return home. We're an offset bite in both ends there. Funny. But the connection is really absurd in and of itself, just like a lot of this is. Vincent in train station of dark, always heading north. Stars of the dearly parted, gods of a frugal earth to call. I like the references and the playback on each other. Peter did well with this, and it's loaded.
I like that. I like that.
Right.
Very cool. All right. And up next we have Beyond the Absurd and Too Often Heard by Liquid Mind Forever. No longer can I, nor am I willing to tolerate the multitudinous cliche phrases without peace, about peace, world peace, peace among nations, all races. Peace is inevitable. May God grant you peace. Peace be with you ad nauseam. Let's all just pray for peace. Be the peace you pray for. Peace of the season at Christmas, the ceasing of war. Peace at all costs. Below is a truism about peace in sync with my belief. It's totally absurd to think otherwise. Without inner peace, outer peace is impossible. We all wish for world peace, but world peace will never be achieved unless we first establish peace within our own minds. We can send so-called peacekeeper forces, keeping forces into areas of conflict, but peace cannot be opposed from the outside with guns, only by creating peace within our own mind and helping others to do the same. Can we hope to achieve peace in the world? Geshe Kelsang Gyatso. This world or babble, bubble of finite thought we call our life is a charade, a parody, a parade of calamitous disparity for the mass of unintelligent whose mouths open wide aghast. While of each group, religious sect and prayer community continue to pass judgments and ultimatums while praying for peace, hoping somehow this will bring about some world order, or to paraphrase the gluttonous, monotonous chit-chat for peace, please release me from cliches. Peace be with you. Pray daily for peace. Sit silently and pray for hunger and war to fend for themselves. Oops, to end, pray without ceasing. May the peace of the Lord be yours. Forgive mea culpa, me, but didn't the Lord Jesus of Nazareth sweat blood before being crucified? Is this the peace we pray for? Clichés on prayer and peace are inane figures of speech that have leached, trying to beseech as they preach peace, Clorox bleached, white as snow. But if you don't know chapter and verse, believe or worship as they do, you're ostracized as a pariah or worse, a heretic for lack of strict adherence to dogma. I think I may vomit. I cannot, will not tolerate the besot, holy prayers for ceasefire, world peace, or stop world hunger, stop war, love your neighbor while he's starving, and you rope off your yard so his black kids can't feel your Cabbage Patch dolls. Stop racist thinking. That as ludicrous as telling a love-starved, brutally abused child he's got to get over it and find peace. And don't forget, love your enemy peacefully. Let's all throw up. In the process of divorce, where lies the peace in depriving children of one of their parents, or of inflicting stringent tariffs upon spouses so they cannot afford to eat healthy or pay a decent amount for housing? Where is peace in starvation and homelessness? O Lord, our God, grant your children peace in the name of the chosen people. Peace will prevail once we kill, maim, and cannibalize all enemies, especially the Jews. So peace on you, my brothers. End poem.
Great read, Cam. And damn, this is quite the piece from Liquid. It is Liquid in of it, the way it's written, thought out. It's a big chat to those. All big chat, big slap at those who caused more death around the world than anything else. Religious fighting, unfortunately. And
yeah.
Until we get to that piece. Well, and this hits on those notes of if you don't walk the strict nature of your particular rouge, then you're driven out as a reprobate, a heretic. Initially just banned from the rest of who and what is there in the moment. That's kind of it's happening now on a different thought, but in that thought is actually ostracization. But that's kind of there's truth in that too. So she's right. Peace won't ever come it's got to come from the center of self and everyone, but unfortunately, not a difficult equation to crack. Great piece, Liquid. Thank you. All right, Pam, you got to read it. What about you?
Yeah, I thought this was definitely a powerful write, and how I like how it speaks on the hypocrisy of. When people speak about peace, but really aren't willing to even try to live peace, but at the same time, there is definitely that thought that there are times when peace, it can't be called for, it can't be the action taken. I mean, you know, it's like there's this one meme, this one joke that says, if people ask you what would Jesus do, remind them that flipping over tables and cracking whips are not beyond the realm of possibility. So this makes me think of that idea, that there are times when we have to stand up and fight, stand up for we have to stand up for what is right and what is just, and sometimes that means the sad reality of going to war. I love her wordplay in this, her hard hitting lines, I really like this. This world or babble bubble of finite thought we call our life is a charade, a parody, a parade of calamitous disparity for the mass of unintelligent whose mouths open wide aghast. And I really like how that speaks on those people who open their minds before they think. And I also like, and you brought this up too, is the mention of judging other people you know, for not thinking like you do. Oh gosh, where was that part? I can't find it. Oh dear. But yeah, we're always, people are always praying for peace, and there's a certain hypocrisy in the way they do it. Oh yeah, here it is. Where it says, Clorox bleached as snow, but if you don't know chapter and verse, believe or worship as they do, you're ostracized as a pariah or worse, a heretic for lack of strict adherence to dogma. And I have to say the use of vomiting was particularly effective in the idea of having to deal with such ostracization and such hypocrisy that it, you know, simply just makes you physically ill. So this is definitely a brilliant write and very well done. Did you want to try to fit one more in, or do you want to, like, mention some upcoming shows?
Well, what do you got for Twisted Tuesday?
For Twisted Tuesdays, we have, it's separated into two parts. We have rights from the Song of Uvavnuk, and then rights inspired by the artwork of Angelica Kaufman. Both contests are closed. However, people are welcome to share on-topic rights on the board, and readers, commenters, and poetry are always welcome. And in fact, I will bump that up so people will be sure to see it.
All right. And break on through. No. Wait,
well,
it's not break on through this week, is it?
It isn't. Nope. This will be actually our first Echoes in the Dark. Yes, our first Echoes in the Dark show, and I'm very excited to be doing a dark show with you again, Rex, every other week. And this will be poetry inspired by the black art of Francisco Goya. There is still some room in the contest, which is open, and poetry readers and commenters are welcome. And what do we got going on for Sunday?
The Tonic, the Lemon Parade album.
Yes,
all
I'm looking forward to that. That should be awesome. Well, awesome show tonight, Rex.
Yes. Had some laughs. Thank you, Lawrence, for the double dip in Alfie and Nigel. And great show, Pam. Thank you very much. And Naomi for hanging out for a little while. Come back next Tuesday where we will do After Midnight once more. Good night, everybody.